Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering which is beneficial, a gathering by which we look back on the Day of Judgment and say it was a gathering by which we got closer to Allah through it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this gathering to increase our understanding of the sunnah of our Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're in the fifth year of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission after migration to Medina, the fifth year of Hijrah. And in this year, there was a turning point, there was a huge moment. And as I said before, the reason we study Sirah is not because it's just tales of old, but rather it gives us a roadmap for how we go through what we're going through right now in the life that we're living right now. Connecting to the Sirah of the Prophet ﷺ, what happened 1400 years ago, because his lifestyle was so upright, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through so much, we get a way to understand how to handle our difficulties. In the fifth year of Hijrah, something critical happened. Some of the Yahud, the Jewish tribes that had been exiled from Medina because they broke the treaty, some of those tribes, they went to the people of Mecca. And now we as Muslims, for these last 5 years in Medina, year after year, month after month, I mean, every 3 months, there's another battle, there's another enemy, there's another issue that we're trying to deal with. There's little rest. And in the fifth year, the people of Mecca, along with other tribes, they all gather together and they say, you know, we're done with this new wave of Muslims. We're done with this new thing called Islam. We want to wipe it out once and for all. And so the Quraysh, the people of Mecca, they decide, that's it. We're gathering everyone. They send out word to all of the tribes around the Arabian Peninsula. Come and join us. Be on our side. We're going once and for all to wipe out Muslims. And the whole world was against us. Quite literally, the world for us was against us, and our backs were against the wall. There was no refuge. There was nothing for us to do. An army of 10,000 people came to set out to attack Medina. And in that time, that was the largest army that the Arabian Peninsula had ever seen. So quite literally, it felt as if our world, the Arabian Peninsula, the world was against us. And that's reminiscent of what we're going through right now. We feel like there's no one for the people of Gaza. And subhanAllah, these tribes together was Al-Ahzab, the Confederates, because they all allied with themselves. They all allied with each other and said, we're going to work together. We're going to all be together against this trend of Islam, and we're going to wipe it out. But what the Battle of the Trench, that was the name of this battle. It's called the Battle of the Trench. What the Battle of the Trench teaches us is that it reminds us that the darkest point of the night comes right before the dawn. It reminds us that the moment that looks like everything is just going to collapse, that right there is when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. And for our individual lives, there's times when it feels like everything is just piling on us. Bills, family, little brother, sisters tripping, gotta take care of them, mom's tripping too. Everything's going crazy at one time. And what you have to do at that moment is more than ever, you gotta realize, subhanAllah, remember what I said three halakas ago. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that he was smiling. He always smiled. And when it feels like everything is surrounding, right there you should smile. Why? Because you know the help of Allah is coming next. Everyone's looking like, bro, you should be tripping right now. Bro, you should be like not okay. But you're operating on a different level. And that's what the mu'min learns from this moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this moment. I was going to read this verse at the end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this moment. He says, إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ. When they came to attack you from above you, وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. And from below you. Meaning it was coming from every direction. That's how it is. In life, sometimes you feel like you can't get a break, as we say. إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودًا. Afwan. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Your eyes were looking left and right, meaning you were confused. You didn't know what was happening. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ حَنَاجِرِ. And you were so anxious about life, about what was going to happen, that it felt like your heart was going to come out of your own throat. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظُنُونَ. This is powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you started to think thoughts about God. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ. You started to think thoughts about God. What's crazy about this verse is it's being revealed about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these companions passed the test. When we read through this, they aced it, y'all. They aced it. But even them who aced it, even them, they were human. Here's what I want to say. Calamities are meant to break us. You're not supposed to be stoic through calamities. You're supposed to cry, Habibi. You're supposed to, you know, that saying that's in our, men don't cry. The strongest of men cried, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so in this verse, Allah says about the Sahaba who aced the test, He says, وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظُنُونَ. You started to think some stuff. Is Allah going to help us? Am I going to get out of this? Is this ever going to pass? And the thing that I was talking to one sheikh about this, and he said something profound. He said that you got to remember there's more after this. This isn't the end of the story. There's more. When we read Seerah and we get to year 5, we're all chilling because we're like, yo, year 7 is lit though. Yo, don't worry, year 8, yo, year 8 is y'all's year. That's, you glow up big time in year 8. But if you're living through this, it's profound. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hunalika, same verse, Hunalika ibtuliyal mu'minuna. It was in that moment that the believers are tested. The test comes in the hard moment. That's where it is. Wazulzilu zilzalan shadida. And the Muslims were shaken, a violent shaking. Meaning, this is what being a mu'min is about. Oh God, let me just hold on. It's gonna ring again. Now I'm gonna pause on that verse right there so we could get into the thick of the story. So 10,000 soldiers are amassing and getting ready to attack Medina. A tribe comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and they inform him, and they say, Ya Rasulullah, we just want to let you know the people of Mecca have gathered all the Ahabish, all the tribes of Arabian Peninsula, and they're tired of Islam. They're wiping this out. They want to end it once and for all. They're coming with the largest army we've ever seen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he do? He's a leader, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he taught us how to lead. He gathers the companions to consult with them, mashwara. Talk with them. What are we going to do? Remember what I said weeks ago. Sahaba say, we never saw someone that did more consulting than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone who has access to revelation. It's like, why would I ask, you know, my man Ayman, welcome back, Habibi. Why would I ask Ayman if revelation is coming? I'm just going to be like, let me hit up Jibreel when he comes back. I mean, yeah. La, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us. Whenever something is difficult coming, you got to consult, you got to talk to people, but not anyone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, you choose people of righteousness. Because if you're consulting people that don't have akhirah in their mind, the whole trajectory of the consultation is going the wrong direction. But when you consult a believer, they'll just be like, hold up, Allah. And you're like, yeah, okay, my bad. You're like, okay. But the other person will have you think, well, did you do this? Are you going to do that? Are you going to do this? But the believer will be like, yo, Allah. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathers the Sahaba. And he gathers them together. But this was a problem we never faced before. What happens in our lives, problems we never faced before. Sahaba are dumbstruck. We don't know what to do. 10,000 soldiers coming to attack us. We don't know what to do. There's one man there. He was a slave in Medina. His name is Salman al-Farsi. He's not a local. He's from Persia. Doesn't look the same, speaks a little different. And subhanAllah, this highlights something. For the tribal Arab at the time, unity came because we were all the same blood. We were all the same family. When the Prophet ﷺ gathered people, the people that gathered were all from different tribes. Bilal al-Habashi, Salman al-Farsi, Suhaib al-Rumi, one from Rome, one from Persia, one from Abyssinia. His wet nurse, his mother, Ayman, is from Abyssinia. When they looked at this crowd of different faces and colors, they said, these people will scatter because in their mind, the only thing that holds us together is that we speak the same language and we have the same skin tone. Islam came and said, hold up. There's something deeper that bonds people. And that, I'm going to repeat it. I've said his name three times now in the last three halakas. Al-Hajj Malika Shabazz, Malcolm X, that's what he saw when he went for Hajj. That's what he saw when he, because he was taught to hate what's different from you. He was taught to hate. But when he went for Hajj and he sees blonde hair, blue eyes, sitting, holding, sharing water with him, his mind was blown. Salman Farsi, he goes, I got an idea. Salman Farsi had just got freed. He was a slave. So this was his first like free moment. Like, yo, I could just be here. I'm not looking over my shoulder. Like, where should I be? So he goes, I got an idea. He says, Inna kunna bifaris. Ida husirna khandakna. He goes, when I was in Faris, Persia, and we were attacked, we would dig a trench around the city. The Prophet was like, trench? I never heard of this. This wasn't something that the Arabs did ever. Fa'ajabahu. The Prophet loved it. So he says, yo, we got to dig a trench. Over the next 15 days, the Sahaba, the companions, set out to dig a trench that is 10 kilometers long, 16 feet deep, and 20 feet wide. And it's in the middle of the winter. Now, the Arabian Peninsula is hot, but have you ever been in Medina in the winter? It's brick. It's cold. Y'all still say that? I don't know. My bad. Okay. I got to be careful now. Y'all be changing words on me quick. I got in trouble a year ago. SubhanAllah. So it's cold. And we're not wealthy yet, y'all. We're still in our grinding phase. We're still in our one bedroom and a half a room apartment days. We don't have food. Food is scarce. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he divides every 10 cubic meters for 10 people. You 10, you guys got this area. You 10, you got this area. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was never one to sit back and watch. He was down in the trenches. When I hear that phrase and I think of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wasn't a leader that sat back. He was right there. So they begin to work. But here's the deal. You got to remember how complex Medina is. In Medina, there's hypocrites. Remember, the hypocrites are like, yeah, this is a phase. Islam is going to be wiped out one day. We'll pretend to be Muslim. When it comes to doing hard work, if you don't believe in the mission, you're going to skimp on work. But when you believe in the mission, that's why I tell people, when you get a job, yo, you got to somewhat believe in the mission, man. Because when you believe in the mission, you put in more work. Fadda, sharafna, habibi, come on in. Bismillah, make room. When you believe in the mission, you put in work. This is amazing because, subhanAllah, they would work from sun up to sundown, and at nighttime they would go home. And whatever little food they had, they would eat. But the entire day they would be grinding and trying to clear this trench before this army arrives. The Quran tells us what the situation was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ عَلَىٰ أَمَرٍ جَامِئٍ لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوا Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the true believers, when they're with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they're working, that's why I say you got to believe in what you work for. When they were working with him, they would not leave unless they asked him permission. So imagine you're working, but you got a family, you got kids, you're trying to dig this ditch, but I got to go help out wifey real quick. I got to go do something. So they wouldn't leave unless they went to the Rasul and they say, Ya Rasulullah, I have to go back home for a minute. I'll be right back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give him permission or not. The munafiqeen, what do people do that don't want to work? They just slide. I'll be right back. That's why I say, don't call brothers when you're moving, bro. When you're moving, don't call the brothers. The bros, that one dude's just going to be sitting there talking the whole time. The one dude's going to run to Home Depot and not show up for the next 3 hours. Yeah, y'all ain't smile because that was you. I saw a brother when I said that, he stopped smiling. That was you, Habibi. That was you. But when you believe, when that's your ace, you're picking up every couch, you're picking up every table. You're like, yo, do you need me to get this? Should I pack this up for you? But when you just showed up, man, you're going to slide out as quick as you can. And subhanAllah, everyone on the job knows what's real. Everyone on the job knows, bro, you just showed up to show faith. The munafiqeen yatasallaluna liwada. They would just back out and disappear. Because we don't even believe in this mission, low-key. We're not even a part of this. But here's the deal. What motivates us to put in work? The belief in akhirah, y'all. The belief in akhirah. Listen, when the muhajirin were, when they were working, it's beautiful. They would be working and I told you the Arabs loved poetry. They loved reciting poetry. And if you've ever been on a manual labor job, reciting something, singing something can make it work easy. So there's a whole list of songs that they would sing. And one of the lyrics is beautiful. They would say, Allahumma innal aisha aisha al-akhirah. Faghfir al-ansari wal-muhajirah. And they would just say it back and forth. Allahumma innal aish. Oh Allah, the true life is the life of the akhirah. Forgive the immigrants and forgive the helpers. Meaning their focus while working was akhirah. And that's, how do we get through the grind of the 9 to 5 and working hard? You got to stay focused on the akhirah. You might say, bro, I'm doing a job, but I can't make intention for Allah. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. What's your intention when you're at work? I'm fulfilling the obligation of taking care of my fam. Rasul said, faridatan ba'da faridah. That's an obligation. So now I'm not on the company's clock. I'm on Allah's clock. This ain't even about you, Bob, up in HR. You see how I switch it to a guy now, right? This ain't even about Bob in HR. I'm here for the sake of Allah. I'm honest in my job for the sake of Allah. That's what motivates us to work. People are like, why are you putting in and out? Why do you work so hard? It's like, this ain't about y'all. This is about Allah. So they would be working and working, and they're digging this trench. I want to remind you, it's winter. It's cold at nighttime. And they're hungry. They're extremely hungry. But here's the deal. When our spirituality gets tested and we have a connection with Allah, food is a means for nourishment. I'm going to say this again. Food, the caloric value of whatever you eat, is a means for nourishment. Our belief is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can nourish us without that means. And He can take barakah out of food. You can eat a lot of food and just feel, I don't even feel no energy from this. Barakah is the blessing that God places in it. And so when they were working with just, they would have literally a handful of barley. They said we would eat it and just chew it for as long as we could, and we would work with that. So one moment, it's a beautiful moment. There were many miracles that took place. There were many miracles. When Allah tests you and you say strong, Allah opens up the reality. I shared it on Instagram. I'm just going to share it. One of the most heart-touching things I've seen from the people of Gaza was a man last week who said he was in prison. The Zionist Israelis had him in prison. They weren't feeding him. And he made a dua. He said, I made a dua that, oh Allah, the way you provided for Maryam, when she didn't have, when without it from nowhere, provide for me. And he said, wallahi, I would just do tasbih and feel satiated. I would feel satiated. This is a man living in our time. We read these things and we're like, yo, that was so long ago. Habibi, it's not. So Rasulullah SAW, one of the Sahaba, he says, whenever we would get to a hard point in the digging, we would go to the Prophet SAW. See, he was approachable. They would go to him with their problems. Sometimes someone becomes the CEO, you can't even go to him with a problem. He'd be like, why are you coming to me? Why are you coming to me? Rasulullah SAW was not like that. Any small thing, you came to him. They knew you could come to him. So they came to him and they said, Ya Rasulullah, there's a huge boulder in the way that we can't get through. Nobody could break it. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, Ana nazil, I'm coming. That's enough right there. Y'all like, man, goosebumps. He says, I'm coming. But the Sahabi says, when he stood up, I could see he had tied rocks to his stomach. In their time, to alleviate the pain of hunger, they would take a small rock and they would take a shawl and tie it so it felt like something was heavy in front. And it would like balance them out a little bit, make it feel like there's something in my stomach when there's nothing. So he said, I saw the Prophet get up. He was dusty and he had a rock on his stomach. He says, Ana nazil, I'm coming. So Salman Farsi and the other Sahaba, they say, Rasulullah SAW came. And we handed him the mi'wal, the pickaxe. And when he first picked it up, he said, Bismillah. Brothers and sisters, if you're not saying Bismillah before you start anything, you're not getting the barakah of Allah. The first thing he said was Bismillah, before anything. Get in the car, work, you punch in at work, Bismillah. Bismillah, bring spirituality back into your life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Bismillah. It's a beautiful story. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he picks up the axe, the pickaxe. And he says, Bismillah. And he hits it one time. And they say he hit it so hard that we saw like a spark fly off of it. And a bit of it cracked. And then he said, Bismillah. And he hit it again. And they said a spark flew off. And then it broke more. And then he hit it one last time. And it broke completely. Salman Farsi was standing next to him. And Salman Farsi was like, Ya Rasulullah, what was that? And this is amazing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see, Rasulullah, the Prophet of Allah, was always seeing stuff that other people didn't see. He was seeing angels. He saw Gabriel. But he didn't know when they were seeing stuff too. So Salman Farsi goes, Ya Rasulullah, what was that? So he looks, he said, you saw that too? Yo, that shocks me because he saw it. But he was like, oh, this is something I'm seeing. Ain't nobody seeing this. But Salman Farsi goes, nah, yeah, I saw that. What was that? Listen to what he says. He says, when I hit the first time in that spark, I saw that Allah had given me the keys to the castles of Persia. When I hit it the second time, I saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given me the keys to the castles in Sham. And he said, Baytul Abiyad, the White House. There's a different one, y'all. It's a different one. And then he hit it again. And he said, I saw that Allah had given me the keys to the castles in Yemen. Now, this is crazy. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they hear this. I want you to picture the scene. We're about to be attacked by 10,000 people. We barely have food. It's freezing cold. We're digging a ditch just to protect ourselves. And this man is protecting, telling us that we're going to be conquering Persia, the Roman Empire, and Yemen. They literally said these words. They said, "Ala ta'jabuna." Isn't this crazy? "Yuhadithukum wa yumannikum." This man is telling you and promising you. "Wa ya'idukum al-batil." He's telling you all types of falsehood. He's telling you you're going to inherit all this. Look what they say. I hate to even repeat it. He goes, وَلَا تَسْتَطِئُونَ أَن يَتَبَرَّزُوا. You can't even go to the bathroom right now. Because they were working so much, they couldn't even like leave to go use the bathroom. He's saying, see, this is the difference between the believer. The believer doesn't focus on the problem right in front. They focus on the goal. They focus on Allah's promise. I'm going to share a hadith, which is one of my favorite hadith. Because all of us in this room are burdened with problems. And what shaitan does is make us focus on the problem right in front. But what Allah says is stop looking at that. That's nothing. I got something great for you in front. You just got to look ahead. Listen to this hadith. مَنْ جَعَلَ هُمُومَهُ هَمَّنْ وَاحِدًا كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ هُمُومَهُ كُلَّهُ وَمَنْ تَشَعَذَ لَا يُبَالِ لَا فِي أَيِّ وَادٍ حَلَكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, take all of your worries and make them one worry. What worry? Worry of akhirah. The job, marriage, family, make ends meet. Put it all to the side. And make your primary worry, how's my day of judgment going to be? Take it all, put it to the side, and make that the thing you're primary focus on. What does the Rasul promise? He says, كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ هَمَّهُ كُلَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of everything. But then he says the other side, وَمَنْ تَشَعَذَ. But whoever gets lost in problems, listen to the end, it's harsh. لَا يُبَالِ لَا فِي أَيِّ وَادٍ هَلَكَ. Allah doesn't care which problem you die chasing after. Meaning I gave you the recipe, I gave you the cheat code, I gave you the way out. So subhanAllah, the munafiqeen in this moment, they're looking at the next 30 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening the Prophet's eyes to the next 30 years. And what's crazy is that with a quarter of a decade, within a quarter of a century, 25 years to the T, every single one of those places was Muslim. Every single one of those places was Muslim. within a quarter decade, 25 years. Can you imagine that prophecy in that moment? Like, hear me out. If he made that prophecy after Fateh Mecca, the conquering of Mecca, everybody like, yeah, legit. Like, after Fateh Mecca, we just conquered Mecca. You're like, yo, we're going to conquer. You're like, yeah. But to make that prophecy in the battle of the trench when we don't have food, subhanallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one day working on the trench. This, by the way, the trench took about 15 days to complete, 15 to 25 days to complete. He's working on the trench, and Jabir bin Abdullah, he says, I was watching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I saw him extremely hungry. Like, I saw how hungry he was. He goes, so I dipped out from the trench and I went to my wife. And I said to her, I said, I saw the Prophet, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ بِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ خَمْسًا شَدِيدًا. He's extremely hungry. He says, do we have any, a little bit of food? She goes, look, listen, I got a baby goat in the back, right? I got a baby goat in the back. Baby goat is like, how many pounds of lamb? That's nothing, yo. Nothing. I got a baby goat in the back, and I got a little bit of a barley, so we can make a little bit of bread. She goes, go slaughter it. He goes, I went and slaughtered it, and she started to cook it. She was about to be finished, and she says, go call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one or two more people. And then she stops him. She's like, don't embarrass me. Don't embarrass me. You know what I'm saying? You wifey cooks something. Y'all don't know, man. It's going to happen to you. It happened to me one day. Wifey cooks something, and you're like, I'm going to call all the OGs over. And everybody pulls up. She's like, bruh, why are you going to embarrass me like that? So she says, don't embarrass me. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is working. He's working. Jabir comes and he whispers. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I have some food. It's enough for you and like two other heads. Please come real quick and eat. He didn't say heads, but he said two people, all right? He said two people, all right? He said two other people, just come real quick. The Prophet ﷺ sat up because he was working. He said, Ya Ahil Khandaq. Man, subhanAllah. He goes, oh, the people of the trench. Jabir has food, let's go. SubhanAllah. Jabir says, I tried to run home. He grabbed my hand. He said, Ya Jabir, walk with me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Jabir, walk with me. So he said, he held my hand, and I'm tense. How am I gonna feed these 1,000 people? I had a goat And for the Arabs, you don't understand. For me and you, we're American. We're like, yeah, homie, I ran out of food. Assalamu alaikum. For the Arabs to not host a guest is aib, man. It's aib. The Arabs are like, yo, what are you doing? So you got to understand their culture. I'm American. I'm like, yo, my bad, food ran out. Okay, assalamu alaikum, there's a halal spot down the street. Nah, not the Arabs, mashallah. They host people. They host people. A man took shahada because the Prophet ﷺ said he was a guest. He said, Wallahi, I won't eat any food unless you say la ilaha illallah. Then I was like, la ilaha illallah. And he ate. But he's like, there's no way you're going to come to my house and not eat. So he's holding Jabir's hand. And right when they get a little close to the house, the Prophet lets his hand go. But before he goes, tell her not to open the pot till I come. Like, don't uncover it. Don't uncover it. Jabir runs in the house, and he says the Prophet is coming with everybody. Now there's two narrations here. One narration says she looks at me and goes, "Bika kada wa kada," like this and that to you. Like she gave him a mouthful, but the narrator just go kada kada, but she gave him a lot. Another narration says no, he was tripping, and he's tripping, and she goes, "Did you tell him how much food we have?" Hold up. He goes, yes. She goes, why are you worrying? He's the Prophet of Allah. That's wifey. MashaAllah. That's how couples need to be. You remind each other of iman. Because we're not all going to be strong every moment. So the couple is like, when I'm tripping, you remind me. Allah, chill, Habib. And when she's tripping, you, Habibti. Allah, Allah. That's the relationship. Allahu Akbar. And we're not the ones that say, oh, last week you was tripping. No. Astaghfirullah. She reminds him. She says, did you tell him? He goes, yeah. She goes, then why are you worried? The Prophet ﷺ lines everyone up outside. He goes, I want you to come in groups of five or so. The Prophet ﷺ goes in. He told them, don't uncover the place where the meat is, and don't uncover the tanur, where you're making the bread at. The Prophet ﷺ comes near the food. He tips it open, and he just like blows into it. He just blows into it. And he says, tell five people to come in. And he keeps it covered. See, y'all don't know this. Y'all think it's culture. This is sunnah. Rasul said, always keep food covered. You know, I used to think about this. Like, why keep the food covered? And then I read that theory that says matter acts different observed when it's not observed. You feel me? What's it called? Y'all know this stuff. Yeah, whatever, yeah, whatever. Whatever it's called. Like they studied matter and how like light waves were moving and stuff, and when we observed it, it acted different. When it wasn't being observed, it acted different. Rasul said, keep it covered, don't watch it. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha, tangent. Aisha radiallahu anha, she had a bag of dates that she had hung up on the wall. And she used to pick dates from it and eat. And then one day it dawned on her, she's like, I've been eating these dates for months. So she opened it and looked, and there was like two left. She told the Prophet, do you know what he said? He said, Ya Aisha, if you did not look at it, you could have ate from it till the day of Qiyamah. Why did you look? Why did you look? Like, yeah, I'm gonna stop there, man. A lot of us, we keep checking the bank account, we keep checking, you keep looking. Stop looking. Stop looking. Let the barakah happen. Let the barakah happen. Rasulullah, he starts to dish out. Five come, next five come, next five come. The Prophet is just pulling out, pulling out, pulling out. The entire army that was digging the ditch ate. Jabir says, when it was done, I was curious. So I looked. He was like, it was as much as when I called him the first time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. I just wanted to stop and just appreciate who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was and what these miracles represented. In our toughest moments, we have to connect our hearts to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and realize he's not here with us, but his sunnah is with us. His ways are with us, and we get barakah in our life by living that sunnah out. Just grabbing one little sunnah, and none of them are little, but grabbing one little sunnah and bringing it in your life, you'll see so much barakah in your life. So we finished the trench. And right when we finished the trench, the Ahzab, the allies arrive. Everyone allied with one another coming to attack the Muslims. They arrive at the trench, and the first thing that they say is, what is this? We've never seen anything like this. But it wasn't over, y'all, because we had to defend the trench. The trench is something that if you sleep on it, they can still get over. So for the next 25 days, the Muslims are patrolling and fighting and patrolling and fighting and constantly pushing them back and pushing them back and pushing them back. You think it gets easy from here, but it doesn't. Inside Medina, there was a tribe called Banu Qurayza. Banu Qurayza were Jews. We were allies with them. The Prophet ﷺ loved peace. He came to Medina and made a constitution, a treaty with every Jewish tribe in Medina. So they were supposed to have our back. You're with us. Yeah, you're not Muslim, but we're on the same team here. Banu Qurayza, they sell us out. They send word over to the Quraysh, to the Meccans, that we're no longer with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We no longer support him. And we'll be with you. And now's where the test came. Because the munafiqeen, they lost it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to read some verses of Quran because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautifully explains what was happening in this moment. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ. And now the hypocrites began to speak, and those who had sickness in their hearts. مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Man, everything the Prophet promised us is lies. See, they saw the hardship, they couldn't see past the hardship. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. See, here's the deal. This is why you need good people around you. Because even the strong Muslims were impacted by what the others were saying. When you hear people saying like, yo, well, it's over now. Now you start to think. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed the believers. Don't look at anyone else. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect example. Watch him. Watch him. وَلَمَّ رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. This is beautiful. Look at it, how Allah explains it. And when the believers saw the allies in front of them, they saw the allies, they realized, like, we're being attacked from inside now, the enemy's on the outside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّ رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what God has promised us. Wait, hold up. Did he promise us that we're going to lose war? Did he promise us that we were going to be wiped out? No, he promised the believers that Allah will be with them. But when they understood, and Ibn Kathir says this, they understood in order for there to be victory, there has to be a struggle that happens first. So when they saw the struggle show up, they knew victory was coming next. You feel me? They saw the hardship and they're like, oh, I know what comes next. I know what comes next. قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And they said, Allah and His Rasul spoke true. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. Their iman increased. Like, let me make this about you. When you're going through the hardship, that hard one, when you're connected to Allah, you'll realize, and we have seen this in Gaza, your iman increases. And they're so strong that it even trickled down on us. Does that make sense? Their iman is so strong that even we started praying. We're like, yo, la ilaha illallah. Raditu billahi rabba. Right? Because of their iman. So this is so beautiful. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. You ask Allah, oh Allah, allow me to be someone when the test comes, my iman goes up. Ameen. So what happens now? إِنَّ بُيُوتِنَا أَوْرَى وَمَا هِيَ بِأَوْرَى إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. The munafiqeen start to complain. Ya Rasulullah, I gotta go protect my family. The Jews of Quraysh are gonna attack from inside. I gotta leave. The Prophet said, I told you where to be. Don't leave. But the munafiqeen are only worried about themselves. So they start to ask permission. Let me go protect my family. Allah says, وَمَا هِيَ بِأَوْرَى. Their houses weren't exposed. وَمَا What is it? وَمَا هِيَ بِأَوْرَى يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. They just wanted to run away from the battlefield. What happens next? It's a beautiful moment. So we got to understand, Allah says, وَمَا يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And further down he goes, وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Here's what you got to truly believe. And may Allah give us this reality. Whoever truly trusts in Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah is enough. وَيَرْزُقُهُ, and He will provide for you where you never expect it. Check what happens. Naim bin Mas'ud. How much time I got? Naim bin Mas'ud. He's with the Ghatfan, one of the armies attacking us. Something happens in his heart. Individually, he sneaks over to take shahada. Allahu Akbar. Got another shahada in the battlefield too. Allahu Akbar. He comes over and he becomes Muslim. Now here's a message for new Muslims. It doesn't matter how long you've been Muslim, you can get to work right away. Naim bin Mas'ud, he goes, Ya Rasulullah, nobody knows I'm a Muslim. Can you allow me to end this whole war? Prophet's like, yeah, sure. like, yeah, that would be great. He goes, but I'll have to say some stuff that might not be true. Prophet's like, this is war, Habibi. Like, save some lives, please. He goes back to Qurayza. They don't know he's Muslim. He goes, I just heard the Quraysh are about to dip. This lasted longer than they expected. You might want to take some ransom from them just in case they leave, but don't tell them I said anything. Then he goes over to the Quraysh. They don't know he's Muslim. We just saw you yesterday. He goes, yo, you know I'm tight with Quraysh. they actually feel bad about going against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they told Muhammad that they're going to get some of your men, and to show them how loyal they are to you, they're going to execute those men for you. So when those two people meet, Quraiza's like, yo, y'all might dip on us. Can we get some men? Quraiza's like, see? My man's right. So now the stability's breaking up. The stability's breaking up. تَحْزَبُونَهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Allah says, you think these people are allied? They're not allied. قُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. They all have different objectives. The evangelicals with the Zionists, what y'all together for? قُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Hearts are completely different. Right, y'all believe in different stuff completely. Let's get back on the topic. Yeah. No, but for real, it fits perfect. I'm not holding punches back, bro. SubhanAllah. So now the stability is breaking up. On one night, that's one way. What happens next? وَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا. Allah says, I don't need your help to do anything. I don't need you to do anything for me to help your cause. On one, it's freezing cold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a wind. Horrible storm, tornado, hurricane, whatever you want to call it. But it didn't hit the Muslims. It only hit outside the trench. Everything is blowing. Their pots are turned upside down. Everything is a mess. Their himmah is broken. Their resolve is broken. They didn't even expect to be in a siege. They were expecting to attack. They didn't even bring food for a siege in the first place. Now, after 25 days, the weather is bad too. They don't have iman. They're not in this thick and thin. They're ready to dip. On the last night, the Prophet ﷺ, Hudhayfa bin Yaman, I'm going to end with this. Hudhayfa bin Yaman. Hudhayfa was the secret keeper of the Prophet ﷺ. Umar ibn Khattab said he used to know the names of the munafiqeen. Umar said, I would only go to a janazah if Hudhayfa went. If Hudhayfa went, I would go. Because he knew who the munafiqeen were. The Prophet ﷺ, it's a cold night. Hudhayfa says it was freezing cold. We barely had clothes to cover up. We just gathered together for body warmth. He goes, the Prophet stands up, dark, pitch dark, it's dark out. He says, the Prophet stands up and says, I need someone to go to the other side and spy on them. Nobody moved. Now these were Sahaba that would do anything for the Prophet, but it was so cold that in that moment, nobody moved. He says it a second time, nobody moves. He says it a third time, it was cold. Fourth time he goes, Hudhayfa. Hudhayfa's like, dang. That's what he says. He's like, oh. He gets up. He's like, I'm shaking. I don't have clothes to cover me properly. He's like, I go to the Prophet and he says, I want you to go to the other side. He says, I want you to listen what they're saying, but don't do anything. And he can see him shaking. And in that moment, the Prophet touches him and he makes dua. May Allah protect you, keep you warm, and bring you back safe. Hudhayfa says, I kid you not, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hudhayfa says, the moment he touched me, I felt an aura of warmth around me. And he says, it was gone. I just felt warm. I go to the other side. It's pitch dark. I get to the other side. I'm in the other camp, and I see Abu Sufyan, the leader of the other side. He's giving a khutbah. His khutbah is basically like, I'm dipping. I'm serious. He's like, I'm out. Y'all can leave. You can stay if you want. Hudhayfa goes, I saw him and I had my bow and arrow. So I thought for a moment, like, I could end this dude right now. But then he's like, I remembered what the Prophet said. So I put it down. Abu Sufyan becomes a great Muslim later, y'all. He becomes a great Muslim later. What happens next? So Abu Sufyan was a shrewd individual. He goes, I feel like someone is here that's not us. Everybody look to your left and right and check. Hudhayfa's like, what am I going to do? He quickly goes to the guy on his right. He goes, who are you? The guy says something. He looks to his left. He goes, who are you? He says, he's like, all right, cool, y'all good. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Hudhayfa bin Yaman comes back over. He says, I come back over. I tell the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're all leaving. It's over, ya Rasulullah. He says, the moment I came back, and I shook his hand and told him, he says, wallahi, the coldness hit me again. Boom. He's like, again, I was just shaking again. The barakah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They wake up in the morning, the whole army is gone. All of the Ahzab allies have left. And we were tested, but we passed the test. It's in our darkest moment that light comes. At the end, now I'm gonna end with this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ended the battle. It was over. There was a little battle. There was someone hurt. I'm gonna go over it next week. The Prophet, he said, that's it, y'all. they're never attacking us again. From now on, we attack. That was it, y'all. This was the moment that turned everything around. But it was our hardest moment. If you're going through a hard moment, Habibi, smile. Because that means the help is coming right now. May Allah accept from us, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفر واتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خير.